Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
A.T.A. Hey, D.A., let me aboard that mothership.
Permission to board that mothership, sir.
Well, you know, I had to slide through the intergalactic swag party.
D.A., man, beam me up.
What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
The guys are the best.
You guys make it.
Permission to board that
mothership.
What's up, D.A., brother? Mothership
has connected.
Hey, you the man, D.A.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour deep space shindig. DA with you for the CBS Sports Radio studios in Providence, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, South Jersey to South Florida, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
Hey, listening, D.A., everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How is everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. Tis a Target Demo Friday. We are finally here. There's been rare Fridays that I've been in this summer, and so it's good to have Target Demo back in the heezy for sheezy, which is what we like to do at the end of work weeks to see how you're listening, where you're listening, and what you're doing. So we open it up for you guys on the old Twitter machine, DA on CBS, also on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheDA Show. We ask you where you're at, how you're listening, what you're doing. We'll read through those coming up in the final hour of the show. I'm broadcasting today from Providence, Rhode Island, one of our Cumulus radio affiliates, which is a fantastic host for the DA Show, which is very thankful, CBS Sports Radio affiliate and family. And it's wonderful to be with the friends and family of the CBS Sports Radio Network. And I'm here because my wife's family is from here, so to get away for a day or two, I'm in the Providence, Rhode Island area, and then, boom, on Monday for Labor Day, back in New York City for the CBS Sports Radio Studios, and then away we go into football season. But I will be with you on Monday for Labor Day because we have an enormous college football weekend straight ahead, which is why today will be heavy college football for you guys. Guest-wise, we've got college football insider for CBSSports.com, Ben Kercheval. He's going to drop on by in hour number two. We always love having Ben join us on the show, talking about last night's Clemson blowout win. Utah gets through the holy war unscathed as well. Some tremendous turnover opportunities created by the Utes defense. We'll probably see a lot more of that in this upcoming season. We'll talk about the Oregon and Auburn matchup as well and other big ones for week number one. Ben Kercheval is going to join us coming up in hour number two. Also, last year, if you're a DA Show regular, a D-alien, you understand the saga of huge freeze dominated all of the headlines for us here on the DA Show. Huge freeze trying to work his way back into the good graces of the show had been banned, but had he beaten Mraz in a season-long picks contest where huge freeze picked college football games and Mraz picked NFL games, well, he would have earned his way back on the CBS Sports Radio airwaves courtesy of the mothership. Unfortunately, Mraz beat him and beat him handily. And so that means that the ban was then pushed to a lifetime ban. That's why huge freeze, he who shall not be named, the Golden Pipes, that's why he is no longer with us. I mean, he's not dead. He's just banned for good, which means we needed another college football insider to go against Mraz in football picks this year. Mraz will do his NFL picks every week, starting next week, week number one. But we will introduce a brand new character to the DA show, Frey, although I will say that you will be familiar with him if you've listened to the show for a little bit. And that is Super Dave, Dave Friedman, who's the voice of the Winthrop Eagles, who's been our master of minutia on the Olympic circuit. He was a big curling correspondent with us with the Winter Olympics. He loved the Olympics. He's also a huge college football fan. So we will have Super Dave with us weekly to go up against Mraz in a picks competition throughout the season. And we will be putting something dramatic on the line. We have yet to decide what that is, but he'll join us in hour number three for college football picks for the weekend. Also this morning, I want to talk NFL. Danny Dimes, Mraz's next entrant into Canton of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, had another good preseason outing yesterday. Should the Giants think about starting Jones and trading Eli if there's a taker? With more holdout news in Dallas, if you've got Zeke holding out, what would happen if Dak decided to do the same thing? Also, the Texans look like they desperately want offensive line help for Jadeveon Clowney. Will they get it? And Clemson, will they have a tough game all season, blowing through Georgia Tech yesterday like a hot knife through butter? All of that coming up this morning on the show. You can dial us up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, as I mentioned, DA on CBS. But let's begin with this Dolphins news, where, as you heard John Fast mention in the update, the Dolphins have decided, Brian Flores, their head coach, has decided to start Ryan Fitzpatrick week number one. Now, the prevailing notion in Miami is, well, they're trying to protect him against a really difficult early slate of defenses. Their first four games, the Ravens, the Patriots, the Cowboys, and the Chargers. Four teams that could end up in the postseason this upcoming year. Four teams that were in the postseason last year. Okay, that is a tough schedule. That's a tough sled through the first month of the season. And Coach Flores had kind of leaned this way throughout the offseason, the preseason, so it's not all that much of a surprise or a shock. But let's really ask this question. Does it make any sense whatsoever to start a 36-year-old bearded turnover machine for a team in a rebuild and an assessment season that's going nowhere anyway? It is where we begin your cold open.
We felt like this was the best move for this team, you know, going into the season. And, you know, Ryan's done a really good job from a leadership standpoint, from an execution standpoint, and we feel like that's the best thing for this team.
I know I have more confidence in myself than anybody else in this world, so sometimes that's a detriment, but a lot of time that works in my favor. And so I'm always confident in who I am and what I am as a player. And, this is where I wanted to be and what I worked to get.
The battle and competition never stops. I'll push him every single day for him to get better, and if he doesn't get better, I'll hopefully surpass him at some point. But we're teammates, so we're both Dolphins, and I'm rooting for him as hard as anyone.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Brian Flores, head coach. That was Ryan Fitzpatrick, the starter for the Dolphins. That was Josh Rosen in order. I think this makes no sense. I think it makes no sense, and here's why. You have got already touted as one of the best upcoming quarterback draft classes in April. You've got Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama. You've got Justin Herbert out of Oregon, and you've got Jake Fromm coming out of Georgia. And that's a minimum. And those three guys are the three best quarterbacks outside of Trevor Lawrence in college football. So you've got three of the four best quarterbacks in college football who are going to be available to you in April. If you are the Dolphins, you are almost certain to be drafting in one of the top three slots. At that point in time, for a franchise that has not had a standout Pro Bowl starter since Dan Marino retired 20 years ago, and you have not had a reasonable year-after-year starter, maybe since Jay Fiedler, because the Pennington years were brief, because the Tannehill years were underwhelming. You have essentially not had a legitimate starting quarterback year in, year out in 15 years. And you've got three of the best college football quarterbacks coming out, which will be in front of you. And you've got a top 10 quarterback from last year on your roster. This season needs to be about assessing Josh Rosen. It has to be. It's the only thing that you need to really do this year. The quarterback sets you up for everything, obviously. And if you have one of those, then you at least have a chance and you have a core and you have at least a pivot point on your organization. And so you must address and you must solve the quarterback question. The Dolphins have a question. They have had a question for a long time, and they have three potential answers in April's draft and one potential answer on the roster. You've got to figure out which way to go. And if you are already protecting Josh Rosen because you're worried about the competition, then what's the use in starting him the rest of the way? So, okay, you're worried that early in the year with a bad team around him, his confidence could be shot. He could throw a couple of picks. You could start 0-4, and he's going to be a broken man. Okay, but what is the alternative? For the final 12 weeks of the season, you end up going 4-8 against more mediocre competition, lesser teams that builds up his confidence. But then what does 4-8 against bad teams give you as a marking point, as a grade point for Josh Rosen? I don't understand how you could possibly go through this season. No matter what you see, if you don't play him in the first 4 weeks against the good competition because you're too scared, how could you possibly assess him against the bad competition 12 weeks later? I think this makes no sense. And if this is just a straight competition, if this was just a straight, hey, the best man had to win, because if we don't let the best man win, we lose the locker room and everybody could see who the best man was. If Ryan Fitzpatrick was that much better at 36 years old than Josh Rosen, then Josh Rosen has some major problems. That Josh Rosen was never going to be a good one in the NFL. And I will raise my right hand and say, I thought that Rosen coming out last year was actually the second best quarterback prospect of the draft. I liked Darnold 1. I liked Rosen 2. I liked Baker 3. If Josh Rosen, just man-to-man, can't beat out 36-year-old Ryan Fitzpatrick on a team that's going to end up having four or fewer wins anyway, then Rosen has some major issues. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And if you're going to sell me that, well, they can't throw him to the Wolves against really good teams and a bad Dolphins squad, why not? You're going to lose anyway. What, you're assuming that Ryan Fitzpatrick goes 2-2 and keeps you in the wild card race? I mean, what exactly are you after here? And honestly, if Ryan Fitzpatrick goes 2-2 or 3-1 against potential playoff caliber teams, then you can't pull him out. Then you've got to ride Fitzpatrick. And then what? He gets 6 weeks? 8 weeks? And then you're only assessing Rosen for the final half of the season? And then you've got to make a decision with the number one or two or three pick in the NFL draft? Frankly, I think the only way that this season was going to be a win for the Dolphins was going 3-13, but Josh Rosen gives you a very clear-cut answer over 16 weeks, whether he's the answer or not. Now, even that's up for debate. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Look, only, even though we're on remote today, doesn't mean that you can't be watching the show. You can watch us at watchda.com. The Wizard of the Watch DA is also cooking right now, Andrew Kaplan. So you can watch on any device over the course of a Target Demo Friday at watchda.com. College football is off and running. And last night, the defending national champions looked like the defending national champions. even though their quarterback didn't. If Trevor Lawrence can look like that, and Clemson can win a conference game by that much, are the Tigers ever even going to be in a close game this year? We'll answer that question coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
DA, first of all, let me just say, you're my absolute favorite show. I listen to them all, but you're the absolute best, my friend.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, I appreciate you very much, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a Target Demo Friday, so we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening. And we will read through those coming up later on in the program on the Target Demo Friday. Also, the DA Show's full episodes are available in podcast form. Simply head over to iTunes or radio.com or even our website, cbssportsradio.com, to find full episodes of anything that you may have missed or want to hear again. It's an Ask the Pros Day where you get to pick a question, any question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet them at me, DA on CBS, and we will read through those and answer them later on in the program. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Coming up next hour, Ben Kercheval is going to join us from CBSSports.com, College Football Insider. And we shall discuss the eminence of the Clemson Tigers. Last night, the defending national champions end up opening up their season, and they do so in conference. Now, they did have it at home, but you would think, you know, you don't get a preseason in college football. It's a league matchup. It's a conference game. For years, Georgia Tech had actually been a very difficult out for most of the teams of the ACC and almost every opponent that they played because of the triple option under Paul Johnson. But this year, big changes to Georgia Tech. But either way, you think that maybe Clemson ends up rusty, maybe a little closer than you would think. It's a league game to begin with. Oh, no. Tigers 52, Jackets 14. And so when you see that, you probably assume, well, Trevor Lawrence ended up with a billion yards and a billion touchdowns. And this one got away early from Georgia Tech, and it was just kind of a whitewash. Well, it did get away from them early. It was 28-0 at the half. But Lawrence didn't end up having a great game. Trevor Lawrence only threw 23 passes. He completed 13 of them. He had less than 200 yards and had two interceptions compared to just one touchdown. Oh, well, how did Clemson put up 52 points if Trevor Lawrence threw a pair of picks and less than 200 yards? Because Clemson's weapons are so ridiculous. They have Travis Etienne at running back, who had a dynamic season last year as well, and a really good postseason and that national championship game. And, oh, Travis Etienne ripped off a 90-yard touchdown to go along with two other scores. He had only 12 carries for 205 yards for a 17-yard-per-carry average and three scores. Now, Etienne, I don't believe, is the most dynamic weapon that Clemson has, even though he is dynamic, because Trevor Lawrence's arm is that good. But if Etienne is going to give you 205 on the ground and three scores on 12 carries, then you don't need Trevor Lawrence to be the golden boy, the big arm. See, here's the issue. Clemson can beat people through the air. They can beat people defensively, and they can beat people on the ground. Tigers rushing attack last night, and this was very smart, I thought, by Dabo. He knew, we are better than Georgia Tech. We don't need to put up Trevor Lawrence Heisman numbers at this point in time. It's more important, in fact, early in the season, to stack your wins, to get your sea legs, and to not put a sophomore quarterback in a position where, with all these expectations and a national championship prognostication, put it all on his shoulders if we could run the football. And they did. especially with a lead-wide throw. Dabo ran 50 times last night. 49 carries for Clemson. 49, and once it's a 28-0 game, basically, you can run the entire second half away. But the key was that not only did they run 49 times, they garnered 411 yards on the ground. 411. Now, I know Georgia Tech's not going to be good this year, but in a league game to begin the season, to basically put up numbers like you were playing an FCS program, 411 on the ground and five touchdowns, they averaged 8.5 per carry. 8.5 makes you ask the question, if Clemson can look like that in week number one against a league foe and not even need Trevor Lawrence to do it, are they going to have a close game? Will the Clemson Tigers play a close game this year? The answer is yes, of course. Of course they will. Now, in the ACC, there are very few potential landmines. But next up for Clemson is Texas A&M. And next weekend, the number one team of the country taking on, right now, the number 12 team of the country, and Texas A&M might rise after their thorough beating yesterday in their first game. Clemson's taking on a potential top 10 team in week number two. Clemson's going to get at least somewhat of a game against A&M. It's going to be a really good marker for where A&M is, because a lot of people think that they can be a party crasher in the SEC West. But Clemson is going to get a game of that in that matchup. In the ACC, it's a little bit less certain. I mean, their best possibility of getting a game in the ACC is their third game of the season, week three. And that is at the Carrier Dome against Syracuse as a top 25 team. Now, I will admit, even by being a Syracuse alum, it is possible that Syracuse is actually overrated this season. Last year, they won those 10 games. They were one of the best stories in college football. I personally think that Dino Babers has been the best hire Syracuse has arguably ever had as head coach of the program, at least in the last 40 years. I think Babers was everything that they needed, everything. Creative mind, a guy that could sell the program well, that had a vision, that opened things up, that saw the strengths where others saw weaknesses. I think Babers is such a good coach. But they're starting a brand new quarterback in Tommy DeVito this year. And Syracuse, by virtue of the 10 wins last year and the momentum, were ranked in the top 25. They might not be a top 25 team. We don't know. But Clemson went up there and lost a couple of years ago. And last year, Syracuse almost pulled off the trick down in Clemson until late in the fourth quarter. So that should be Clemson's biggest challenge of the season going to SU in week number three. Other than that, let me give you their schedule in conference. At North Carolina, they're going to thump the Mack Brown-led Tar Heels. They are home to FSU on October the 12th. And the way that we stand right now, the Seminoles are not a good program. They might be better than people expect, but they've got to prove it because last year was such a disaster. They're at Louisville, another first-year head coach. They're home to Boston College. They're at NC State. They're home to Wake. That is their ACC schedule. Now, would it shock me if Syracuse plays really well against them and that's a tight game, maybe even a Syracuse upset? Wouldn't shock me because it happened 2 years ago. Would it shock me if FSU is actually better than we thought and that game played in Death Valley might end up being a two-score game of the fourth quarter? Wouldn't shock me. FSU has talent on that roster. Would it be crazy to think that at NC State late in the season gets flexed to a night game? They play that game in Raleigh. It's crazy. It's loud. It's dark. It's all of the things that you want in a nationally televised platform. And NC State has all this momentum, all of this emotion in the building. They end up playing a really tight game, and Clemson's got to pull it out of the hat late. Wouldn't shock me. There are possibilities of close games on the schedule. It's only week one. So when somebody says right now Clemson's going to win every game by 40 points, I don't buy it. I don't believe it. But that was a hell of a statement in week number one. Last night, I mean, they ran for 411. They didn't even need Trevor Lawrence. They put up 52 points. They averaged 8 yards per carry on the ground. Are they ready to defend their title? Yeah, I think so. Seems so. Yeah, seems so. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day, and Nick Saban is not happy with his players trash-talking before games. He's got a very prickly verbiage in describing what he wants to do to his players that he overhears trash-talking. We'll do that. And hear a story about how Shaq unveiled a story about Kobe about freezing him out when he was a young player. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
Aeneas Williams joining us.
Should I call you Damon or DA?
You're the Hall of Famer, so I'm going to let you decide what you want to call me.
I'll call you Damon.
All right, I appreciate that. My mom would appreciate that as well.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday morning football returns to your airwaves next weekend. Week number one of the NFL season is almost here, and we are back for season number four of Sunday morning football, where we break down college football from Saturday and preview NFL Sunday action. It now returns, but 1 hour later. It used to be 9 until 11 Eastern time. Now it's going to be 10 until noon. We got that moving an hour later to move up against to fold into the start of NFL national pregame shows, including here on CBS Sports Radio. So I will see you 10 until noon Eastern time, starting week number one of the NFL season right through the Super Bowl every single Sunday. 6 days of the DA. Be prepared. And it begins next weekend right here on CBS Sports Radio and all the same places you listen to this show. Oh, so you guys got jokes, huh? You guys got jokes. Paul tweets, whoa, who is this new guy on the air? Haven't seen this Friday fill-in host before. All right, I get it. All right, got jokes, huh? Hemsky in Tucson tweets a gif of Red Fox holding his heart, staggering back in Sanford and Son. And his caption is, when Damon is on the air on a Friday. All right, I get it. I took some Fridays off this summer, all right? What do you want from me? As I've said, the way that this broke down was that the Bourbon Bell and I did not have a long vacation planned. It was going to be a chaotic summer for her work-wise and for us family-wise. And so we just decided instead of a week-long trip or take 2 full weeks, which most people do during the summer, we'll do some staycations, a little weekend trips here or there, and I'll just take off Fridays. And so if you think about it, I could have taken off, like most hosts do, 2 full weeks during the summer, like 1 full 5-day week in July and 1 full 5-day week in August. I think Pete the Body Bellotti takes off like 5 different 5-day weeks. He's still out. I just decided to take all of those as Fridays. So basically, I didn't work any Fridays this summer. But I'm back. And now you got me on every Friday. And now I'm mad. Now there's going to be tests on Fridays. Okay? I'm grading everybody on Fridays. We've also got Super Dave coming up on a Friday. A little bit later on in the show, our college football picks with our Olympic correspondent and master of minutia. He's also a huge college football fan, and so he brings you our college football picks for 2019. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Well, I don't think we'll ever confuse Nick Saban for being new school or a quote-unquote players coach. Does he want his players chirping about the opponent or trash-talking before games? Here's what he said on his weekly radio show, courtesy of 100.9 and Hey Coach.
You know, players don't talk to the opposing team.
I tell our players, you know, if you want to talk to the other team, join the goddamn debate team. I mean, excuse my language, but I'm really sorry for, you know, using the Lord's name in vain, but I just really get hot about what I see in sports that we promote in the media and in every other way that really is not a good thing. That's not what we're trying to accomplish in what we do.
I love the fact that Nick Saban clearly is fired up enough to make a declaration on this. He has a rousing applause from the crowd. There's even a guy in the back that's like, woo, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, you tell him, Nick. And then Nick's got to backtrack and go, I didn't mean to use the Lord's name in vain. There's a man that knows his audience. He is speaking to an assembled crowd in Alabama, and he is going, join the damn debate club! And he's gonna, yeah! These players, shut up! Players, just go out there and play! I didn't mean to use the Lord's name in vain, because he knows somebody's going, you know, he's right, but you shouldn't use the Lord's name in vain. You know, that's just not right by Nick. I mean, I understand what he was saying. I understand, but, you know, you shouldn't use God's name like that. I'm just saying. I'm just, Nick. And you know this has happened before in the past. Because my guess is he says GD a lot. My guess is around the house, Nick Saban just rips off the GD quite often. But he knows with his assembled audience, he's like, you know, I should probably apologize for this because there was that one time in 2011 where that old grandma from Birmingham wrote me those five letters excoriating me for using the Lord's name in vain. I better apologize for this right now. But I'll tell you this. This is why Nick Saban, at his most curmudgeonly, in my mind, is still really likable. And that is because there is some rope he still has tethered to the really old school. And those are things that I appreciate. Those are things that I love. I think that Nick is certainly not perfect, and I think he can be a hypocrite, and I think that sometimes he criticizes things that, you know, he has no right, no business criticizing. I do think that the fact that Nick Saban hammers the new generation of kids to be as disciplined as the old generation was and to be as respectful of the way that it used to be, or just those old school tenets, I like that he brings that to the table, and I like that it still works. I do. I like that he still makes that work. Now, it's not that Nick Saban can't modernize, because let's face it, look at his offense these days. I mean, his offense is completely different than where it was 10 years ago. And he's got to be able to make adjustments to a new group of players, new generation. But he still tethers himself to the old school, and I appreciate that. I like that. Elsewhere in soundcheck, here's Rajah Bell, who was playing with Shaq on the Suns. Rajah now hosts a podcast with Danny Cannell. You may have heard it. Cannell and Bell is part of the CBS Sports family. And he tells a story about practicing with Shaq in Phoenix and saying that Shaq and the Lakers had signals to stop from passing to Kobe. Here's Rajah Bell.
Shaq told me a story. We had a kid named Goran Giricek on our Suns team. He had gotten there. And Goran would go in the game, and Goran was about his buckets. So Goran would get in, and no matter what we were doing, no matter what the flow or the chemistry was, Goran would be just, you know, shooting the ball. Giro was my guy. Like, I played with him in Utah. But Shaq started saying, hey, guys, look, this is the symbol. Like, when I give you this, Giro doesn't get the ball anymore. And I'm like, dude, what is the background on that? Where'd you come up with that? He was like, well, when Kobe was young with the Lakers, like, he would be going in and just trying to get him. He said, so the rest of us had a universal kind of code that if we looked at each other and went, and now me and Kobe didn't get the ball anymore. Do you know what I mean? So he told me that after he had played with Kobe. It was a real thing. Like, yep. They felt that way. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they couldn't come together to win championships. But if you ever saw some videos of old Laker teams doing that, that meant Kobe wasn't supposed to get the ball.
And that hand gesture that Rajah is doing is basically a thumb flicking down. So there you go. The Lakers had a hand signal to not pass to Kobe because Kobe wasn't passing to anybody else and just taking shots from all over the place. And this, of course, comes out of Kobe calling Shaq lazy, a lazy ass. And had Shaq truly been motivated and in shape, they would have won 12 championships together. 12 is an overshot. 12 is hyperbole. But let's face it, Shaq and Kobe left minimum three titles on the table, minimum together. If they had coexisted, they would have won in 04, and I think they would have had two more after that had they coexisted and stayed in L.A. for the duration. I mean, Shaq's real effectiveness starts waning by 06, certainly by 07. He's no longer the same guy. But you're telling me they would have won in 04. That would have been four championships. 05, 06, 07 was still the window. I think they would have won two more. That's how dominant they really were. And there were moments in between 2002 and 04 where there was also, you know, some rocky moments, even though they got back to the finals in 04. I think that this whole conversation that's happened this week, to me, just once again reaffirms that Shaq and Kobe legitimately didn't like one another. Shaq and Kobe legitimately resented one another. Shaq and Kobe can act like they've kissed and made up now, but there is still an under-the-surface resentment and bitterness. And for Kobe, it is that Shaq never truly went after his potential. And Kobe's absolutely right. I mean, Shaq was lazy. At times he was motivated, but he was absolutely unmotivated many times and completely self-involved and completely selfish about just being dominant by how huge he was and large he was and didn't need to put in the extra work. And for Kobe, he was completely self-involved and believed that he was Michael before he was Michael and believed he was Michael. And he never got to Michael, but and he believed he was the best option at all time scoring. And there's certainly some blame there. But I will side with Kobe every day of the week on this feud, because while those guys saw Kobe as being maybe an egomaniac and thinking that he deserved every shot, at least he maxed out his potential. For Shaq, he was more charismatic and could do films and smiled and had commercials and endorsements, but he absolutely did not max out what he could have been. And he's still a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest centers ever. And finally, here's Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M head coach. The Clemson Tigers just dropped the 50-burger last night on Georgia Tech. Here's Jimbo discussing what it's like to be facing the Tigers in week two.
This will be a little bit different ball game now. They got some great receivers in Trevor, and I'm glad our guys got some confidence going in, but we're going to have to play one heck of a game. I mean, that's been a little bit different deal with Trevor and those guys throwing. But, you know, we played them last year. Hopefully we'll see how it goes.
I'll tell you. After what we just saw last night, I mean, Clemson has so many different ways they can beat you. And for A&M, there is absolutely nothing you could really take out of last night's beating out over Texas State. I mean, A&M wins 41-7, but what are you really going to take away? I was glad to see Kellen Mond play efficient and effective quarterback for A&M. He didn't have to do too much, threw for less than 200 yards, but three touchdowns on the day, but they just kind of ran away with it. Texas State didn't score until the fourth quarter, but there's just no way that that can prepare them. That was basically less than a preseason game. That was varsity versus JV before you face a team that's better than you in varsity. It's like, you know, that's your JV competition before you go to state. But I do think that A&M can keep it close. And if Clemson in this game next week blows the doors off the Aggies, then we've really got a beast on our hands. Like I said last segment, I think that the Clemson Tigers will have a handful of close games this year. This one could be one of them. The week after that at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse could be one of them. The one at NC State late in the season could be one of them. But if Clemson takes a top 10 team behind the woodshed next week and wins by 30 or 40 points, what a statement that is. And that is your sound check. Today is a Target Demo Friday, and we haven't had a chance to do a Target Demo Friday for a long time this summer. And so I want to know where you're listening as you check out the DA show, how you're listening as you peep the DA show, and what you're doing this weekend or today. And I'll read through those coming up in hour number three as we once again tap into our glorious D-Aliens and what you guys are up to heading into a weekend. Also, coming up next hour, College Football Insider for CBSSports.com, Ben Kercheval is going to drop on by the DA show. We'll talk to him about what we learned last night in night number one of the college football season, including Utah with a dominant defensive performance over BYU last night, creating scores from their defense. And if Utah perhaps is the best team of the Pac-12, as some people are saying. Yesterday we had Yogi Roth on for the Pac-12 networks. He said he thinks Utah is the best team in that conference, that it's not Oregon, it's not Washington, it's actually Utah. So we'll discuss that. Also, we'll discuss the thumping that Clemson put on its first foe in Georgia Tech, and we'll look ahead to Oregon and Auburn with Ben Kercheval coming up here in hour number two. Also, we've got college football picks in hour number three with Super Dave Friedman. Super Dave is going to join us in hour number three. But when we come back, sounds like we've all got to be prepared, including the Dallas Cowboys specifically, for Ezekiel Elliott not being available for week number one because of his holdout. But I've got a diabolical plan that I wonder if it's been kicked around behind the scenes of the Dallas-Fort Worth area about the Cowboys and paying people. I'll talk about that diabolical plan next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.